Good morning, this is Jason Nemro. Finally got all the recording information together. You are listening to Cohen Meander. I am, like I said, Jason Nemro, and you also call me Yason Ben David HaKohen, and here I am doing what I do. I am a Cohen, and I am meandering, and here I go to the meandering. Had an interesting dream this morning. I won't talk about much specifics, except at some point in it, some little old nice lady who was living in the same motel I was, or staying at the same motel I was, I don't know what was happening, and she decided to put a piece of tape over my mouth. I didn't know how to take that at first. I woke up, and then I said, wait a minute. I said, you know what? No. You hear too many voices telling you to shut up. And let me tell you, don't shut up. God many times has said, open your mouth. Preach. Say what you're going to say. Do what you're going to do. Don't live by somebody else's thoughts about whether you're being acceptable or not. Just don't. And so, off and on, I have decided to stop doing these recordings for one reason or another. Sometimes it's just because I said I don't get any indication it's even being listened to, which is fine. This is basically almost like a journal, although the more personal stuff I keep someplace else. The stuff I do here on Cohen Meander are ones that are made more for public consumption. Ooh, some buzzards. Lots of buzzards by somebody hit a deer, looks like. And the buzzards are out coming to pick it over because that's what buzzards do. Ah, fantastic. So, this comes back to the whole thing. Make sure you're being more productive than consumptive. It seems like most outlets will tell you not to be a producer, to be a consumer. That's certainly what your government wants from you, is to consume. Your boss wants you to be productive, but only within the confines that your boss has defined. If you're a creative type, they probably don't want you to be particularly creative. I don't know where I am in there. Don't really care. I'm simply doing what I do. I think I had something to say. It's beyond being being productive more than you are consumptive. You have to be somewhat consumptive just because there's things that you need that you probably don't have time to produce yourself. It was an interesting time back in the past when families were larger, when life was a lot of subsistence farming, and you had to have a lot of labor, and your kids kicked in a lot of that labor. And whatever you needed was a lot of your production. I don't need what I produce. This is, you know, I eventually got into, but first I was into child development, child care. I was gonna take care of kids while mom and dad went off to work. And I found out that I had a philosophical problem with a lot of this stuff. Those who licensed me wanted to control me, which I don't like having done. I needed to be a marketer, which I am not. I was just telling Lisa this morning, I said, I'm more a Field of Dreams guy. Do you guys remember that movie, Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come, or he will come. And you're going, oh, okay. And I'm kind of like that. I'm going to build something and see who comes. And so far, I built it, but ain't nobody coming. Or at least not very many people. I'm very heartened by the fact that in some of my venues, which are trackable, some of them are, some of them I don't bother tracking, they're looking at the website. There are a few people, or at least somebody, who's looking at some of the things that I write and the things I do and the things I listen to. I know there are angels that are supposed to write down all your doings. And so I feel bad for the poor angel that has to sit around and listen to all the crap I say. Gotta be mind-bending. If nothing else, he said, guy, why did I put forth more effort so I could get exalted? Why am I an angel here? This is, you know, because I, as far as I'm aware of, that's angel gut work. You know, you are filling the role of God, and God doesn't send, spirits from our company to do his work. He has his own angels to do his work. And yeah, I think most of the record keeping is not being done by somebody who either came or is coming to the earth at some point. I think it's being done by some poor angel who said, this is what I do all day, this is my job. I listen to Jason Nimrod, everything he says, and I dutifully make sure that it's recorded and that a summary, maybe a synopsis, who knows, has been produced to go up the chain. That eventually gets to Heavenly Father, who says, okay, well, here's this and here's that. I don't make God impossible. You know, there's somebody who says, oh, God hears everybody's prayers. And you go, his system does. He's got an organization. He's got a system. And it all has the imprint of God on it. They are doing God's work. Therefore, they represent God. When you have a visitation by an angel, and they don't tell you who they are, and stuff like that, they don't make it personal, they're acting for God. And typically, those are angels who are acting under orders. And in acting under orders, that's an employee. They're doing gut work. I'm not saying that other spirits can't come and do things by assignment. I'm not going to say that. That's how I think it works up there. Yeah, and there's some poor guy that's assigned to me. Section Nemro, the Jason desk, and takes care of me and what I do. And keeps up with me and keeps a good tally of it. This is scriptural. It's in scripture that this is done. If you do something major, maybe, I guess, does it go in the Lamb's Book of Life? Yeah. Now I think all this stuff matters, you know. I get to chew Lisa's ear off in the mornings. She wakes up around 6, and of course I've always usually been up quite a bit before that. Sometimes I'm not, but it depends. And She gets, I get to chew her ear off until about 7. Then I have to leave her alone. And, anyway, so, stuff we got going. Right now I am working on, I am back to working kind of on, the Mariner's log because I am going to paint it on the side of my truck. I've got a huge now canvas on the side of my truck because somebody broke out one of my windows. And so I've decided I put a big sheet of chipboard that I had from one of the packing crates that we got once upon a time across it, sealed it with a white elastomeric roof sealant. And so now it's this big white thing, and it's like, I need to turn this into something. And so, here I am. Oh, working that. Trying to figure out what exactly I'm gonna do. And so, I've drawn out the Mariner's log. You can see it at http://quix.us, as usual. That's my main website, has been for years. And, one of the selections under there is the Mariner's Log. You can go there. I was doing a little bit of update to it. I still need to do some more. Because I think it's a little bit lacking, which is funny because it's a whole lot of text to grind through. The version I'm doing up here is going to include Christ's journey along the straight and narrow path, which is one of the legs of the X, which marks that we are here on earth. Mortal life. So many people get unhappy with the way that the plan of salvation is kind of diagrammed in a lot of ways. I'm reasonably happy with the Mariner's Log version. The great part is not only can you render it really easy because it's 10 simple symbols, you can type it. You can stylize it like I did. You can make it a piece of jewelry. I've never been interested in that because, like I said, I'm not a marketer. Best left to somebody who has inclinations this way. Because it's definitely something to which you would say, oh, what is that? And you show it to somebody and go, what does that mean? And you can say, that's the Mariner's Log. And you go, what's that? And then it gives you an opening to explain something. Explain God's plan for happiness to them without getting too religious to begin with, which is very off-putting to a lot of people. One of the things that I came up with for it was this. And it's out there. I don't know if anybody's latched on to it. It's like, this is a real conversation starter back in the day. And it really does focus on opportunities. So up at the top of this painting I'm doing is the opportunity to be exalted. And the actual word exalted is highlighted, and the actual C that stands for the celestial kingdom and celestial glory kind of opens up to exaltation. And so I'm really quite, going to come up with different ways of doing it. Doing it with the little circles. Now I'm going to use the symbols themselves. I need to make sure that it talks about hell's purifying fire. This is already all written down, so I don't have to worry about trying forgetting it. But this is good to bring up yet again, because that's what hell is. Hell is purification for the things that you didn't repent of, for your unrepented sins. Jesus' path, which is the straight and narrow path, which is very short, relatively speaking. All the birds out today is just amazing. There's thousands of them out here. They're not grackles, thank you. I think grackles are the are atrocious birds. These are probably mostly sparrows. I don't know. Anyway, God, tons of birds. Anyway, so that hell is the refiner's fire. This is scriptural. Everybody comes resurrected and clean, having paid for their sins. Either Christ having paid for them and you not having to suffer for it, or you having gone through the purifying fire yourself to pay for them. So that it's done. When you arrive at judgment, you're clean. Well, that doesn't mean you're a good person. Just because you've been in the shower and somebody's used some soap on you and cleaned you up, put you in clean clothes, doesn't make you a good person. Or desiring certain things. The job of God, which is executing further progression of more spirits, is what progression means. There is no, you know, I think we conflate it with the kind of things that we do here on earth. The kinds of labors we did on earth will end. They will cease. They will be no more. It is a test. You will not continue being tested. This is not a continuing onward test and trying to get better and better and better. It's not. It ends. There is no more of that. You graduated. You've got your thing. Ding! You're God! I'm sorry. I am not very much the school of God person. Your schooling takes place down here. And you indicate what you're really interested in. You know, when people say, You will receive a reward according to your the things you have done, but also according to your desires. But you've got to know that your desires are very much highlighted by what you've done, by what you're interested in. If you're just a 9-to-5 guy, just kind of farting around, going home at night, kicking up in front of the TV, and just kind of doing that, that's kind of indicative. You're probably not going to be going to a celestial world, because it's God's work. You're doing God's work. It says, and that's probably the most important part of the celestial kingdom, is you're doing God's work, which is progressing his children. Which happens on earth. I have lately gotten into the habit of saying, because some people say, oh no, you'll continue progressing even after judgment and all that stuff. And, you know, and I'm saying, when does Jesus get to enjoy his exaltation? When exactly does that happen? Because you think he's all busy working, you know, still continuing to be your Savior. And trying to work you. You go, no. No, once the last spirit of, and I call it a company because that's kind of how sometimes it's done in the temple. Every individual ascension is called a company. It used to make more sense back in the days when you would actually make something of a journey. You would go to a room that represented the celestial kingdom, and you would be there, and you would go through that particular thing. Then you'd go on to another room, and then to another, and then to another, and then to another. And it was a journey. It was almost like you're on some kind of interesting trek. That's been somewhat lost in the new way of doing it, which is through a film. And basically, you just watch a film, and it tries to take you through these things. It used to be an actual physical moving. You were moving, and you moved as a company. People didn't come in the middle. You started, and then you went all the way to the finish. And that's what's happening now. We're part of a company now. We are at the very end of all things, so we are kind of at most of the company has gone through ahead of us. This is the restitution of all things here in the disposition, dispensation, good night, of the fullness of times. Everything has its time here. Cleanup work, I think predominantly, gets done during the millennium. That's where everybody who needs celestial glory done gets done. Everybody who's not going to a celestial glory, they get taken care of later. They spend a lot of time, of course, a lot of that time is taken up by repenting of sins and things like that. I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of TV going on up there to kind of take care of those who have already repented of all their sins but are waiting for the time of their resurrection, which will come later. God takes care of the celestial types quickly, and that kind of gets visualized in this painting up toward the top where the straight and narrow path is, and which goes to the celestial kingdom. It's really short. It's thin. Then it gets wider and wider as it goes down, indicating the whole amount of time that you're going to be, well, you know, I don't really need to do that. It doesn't hurt to, but there it is. Anyway. That Christ's time before he was resurrected was 3 days. That's pretty good. And that's mostly marshaling the forces that were going to go down and preach to. There are two parts to the spirit world. There's paradise, and then there's prison. Prison is where hell is. Hell's purifying fire is down there. And you spend your time down there until you're pure. Until you're not pure, clean. Until you're clean. And that might take a long time. Might even be so. But some people never get completely clean because their sins are that bad. And that there is no redemption for them. Of course, you have to understand, the redemption that Christ did is about shortening your time in hell. Those Christians who have that concept, they've got that concept on the money, man. You know, it's kind of a purgatory. Names don't really matter. You can call it that if you want to. And then, yeah, the time you spend there, and then you go on to eternal life. The reason why I brought that up is because once Jesus is done with that last person of our company, once the whole company is through, I guesstimate it's always 10 billion. No, 20, I'm sorry, 20 billion, which is all the people who lived on earth previously. Everybody who's come to earth is in our company. And we, you know, some people went through very early, some people went through very late. It doesn't matter. The whole parable of people getting paid the penny, and how just it is of what you're going to get. And everybody saying, oh, wait, isn't there a wonderful special reward for those of us who labored long? You know, who might, you know, for Adam or for Enoch, who went down very early and who have been, who patiently waited for a long time for Christ to finally come. And when Christ got resurrected, that ushered in the first resurrection. I don't know how long our spirits have to stay in the spirit world. It may be as short a time as Christ's time, if we don't have anything to be cleansed of, but don't we all a little bit? Are there sins that we have not overcome yet? Anyway, so, and yeah, it takes into account that, you can, oh boy. I need a little wash anyway. There's a place that always catches a lot of water. Oh. That's one of my primary concerns with this painting is once I do this painting, how long is it going to last on the side of this truck before I have to touch it up or something? I've been playing with trying to do something on a computer and do it in vinyl. Tempting because I really don't, you know, I don't think I have really good control of my hands and my fingers. In fact, I'm a very lousy typist. My mom once told me she laughed at my typing skills. I'm okay, but I'm not very good. I'm not very fast, but I don't think all that fast either. Anyway, so, once our whole company is done and the people with the biggest problems come last, those who are going to go to some place we call outer darkness. In the scriptures, it's the place where people do weeping and wailing of gnashing of teeth. It's called outer darkness in the New Testament as well. It's in some of the parables that Jesus taught. And they will be the last ones through. Once that last one is through, that is it. Jesus now gets to enjoy exaltation with Heavenly Father. Those who have proven faithful to Him and become joint heirs with Him of the Father, we all get to be heavenly parents as well. And why on earth? See, some people think that even if you go to one of the lower kingdoms, You can progress between the kingdoms to get yourself somewhere. And I am not a proponent of that idea. I don't want to be too mean to the people who are, because the tendency in doing that would say it doesn't really matter. The final judgment doesn't matter. And I'm sorry. It is the end all. You should believe what Holy Writ and prophets have said about the final judgment. It is final. There is no returning and saying this. We are not bringing back all the essential characters to reconvene things to try to figure out you again because you've decided to change your mind at some point. It doesn't happen. Jesus gets his exaltation. The people who work hard that put forth the effort and who exercise their desire in their actions, when they've gotten their exaltation, that's it. You go to your reward and enjoy your reward. That's what you get. You go, but don't I get to have better things? And you go, I don't understand what you mean. What better things? Why do you think exaltation is a better thing? Is my first thing. I have had a lot of jobs in my life. Most of the jobs I didn't like because they chewed up a lot of my time and they were a distraction to what I really wanted to be doing. I saw people who love to be employed. Social justice warriors, I think, are going to fare quite well as long as they don't kill anybody and as long as they don't just get on God's bad side. I think social justice warriors are actually have good instincts. Some of them have really bad impulses that get them into trouble. And they glom on to some really bad ideas. I think most social justice warriors who are big on aligning with God's agenda are going to be magnificent in the celestial world. And as long as they inculcate, bring in God's agenda, what God is doing, God has told us what his work and his glory is, the immortality and eternal life, exaltation of his children. You're going to make it. Love social justice warriors. Not very excited. Well, you know, the kind of impulses that create social justice warriors. It's just the kind of causes you put yourself to. That's the tricky part. Agency by itself is not very virtuous. You want to have it. You want everybody to have it. But you want them to exercise their agency well. Jesus is very straightforward about saying, I want you to use your agency to follow me, to be a part of following my example. And how important that is. Jesus didn't have tape put over his mouth. A lot of people wanted to shut him up. You can't talk like that. That's not right. And they eventually killed him for it. You go, well, he was quiet when he was being accused. And you go, because he did not want to stop what was happening. He was not there to defend himself so that he would avoid the punishment that they wanted to give to him. The point was he needed to take the punishment. So there was no point in not saying what he was going to say. He said, he spoke sometimes. You know, in that last few days before he was crucified. Otherwise, he didn't have tape over his mouth. He preached his gospel. He told his parables, and half of those parables were either confusing or made people mad. Because it wasn't how things were supposed to work. I tell you again and again and again and again what these things are. Align yourself with the agenda of Christ. Do that now. With the goal, for lack of a better word, of saying, I'm gonna make it part of me to affect the immortality and eternal life of man. And you go, how do you do that? Jesus already took care of the immortality. Don't sweat that. The eternal life is exaltation. How are you going to help people to get to desire that fruit? Exaltation is often cast as a fruit to be enjoyed. Now the whole thing is you have to keep, you know, to get there, to stay there, to continue to enjoy that fruit, you have to be a certain kind of a person. And it's all about that labor that needs to be done. Not just building worlds, separating light from darkness and bringing in animals, plants, stuff like that. Those are just what's necessary. What is good for life and for the testing ground. It's like setting up the chairs before a Sunday school or something. It's just setting up. That's what setting up is. And most people say, oh, this is what God does a lot. And you go, yes, he is a lot about setting up what needs to be done. The scriptures, prophets that come down on assignment to preach the gospel. There are records that we have. That's the scriptures. All these things are prepped for the main event, which is your mortal life. Ultimately, we're supposed to have joy. Joy means different things to different people. So you shouldn't get weird when it's like, well, I'm gonna make it to celestial glory. And you go, that's great. Okay. Let's start putting forth the effort to get this done. And you might not want that. That might not be your joy. I know it's like, oh no, it's ruined. No, it's not. Now he makes the opportunities all available. And he's put forth, you don't even want to think about how much effort he's put forth to make this stuff all work from you. The greatest, and this is scriptural too, the greatest offense you can make to God is not to be grateful for what he's done. Sent Jesus Christ, all of Jesus Christ has done. Sent prophets, what the prophets have done. Be grateful. Be grateful for this. This will get you a long way. Keep putting forth effort to the good cause, which is encouraging everybody toward exaltation. If you don't want exaltation when the moment arrives, or if you didn't put, if it really wasn't your desire, if you just wanted to have fun and go to the lake and go and have fun, and you're not really interested in affecting the exaltation of children, of people, there's plenty of that to be done in other places. And you can go there and you can have a great time doing that stuff. Oh, this is wonderful. You hear people all day, right? And they go, man, if I could do this every day, that would be heaven. Bing! You said it. And is it the wrong thing to say? No! That's you! That indicates you! Almost every experience can be acted out on this earth. And that's why in judgment, when we judge where each individual person goes, now we're not a part of that, it's between Heavenly Father and Jesus and that person, it really becomes that. It's like, man, he really likes jet ski. He likes to go around and jet ski all the time. And he's even said it. Trust me, he did it. That was his major act. Can I tell you what you do on Sunday? What you do on Sunday is very indicative. When you don't have to be working, in fact, when God tells you not to work, what are you doing instead? And I'm starting to see that that would be a good idea to think about it that way. Because everybody has to work. Some of us have to work a lot. In the old days, it was 6 days. In China, it's called 12-6. 6 in the morning till 6 at night, 6 days a week. And you go, oh, that's horrible. You go, well. But it fits the paradigm. When you have the day of the Lord to do what you want, what are you doing? If you're going out and recreating and having fun, that's what you're doing. That's what your thing is. You can say to yourself all day long, well, I go out and do it with my family, and oh, we have so much fun. And isn't that righteous? And the answer is sure, it is. It's absolutely a righteous thing to recreate with your family. But is that something you should do on the Lord's set-aside day? When you get to do what you want to do besides outside of the work that must be done. We all have work that must be done. I look forward to the day when I don't have to paint my house, that my house just stays painted. You know, you construct it once, you don't have to sit there and do a million repairs. I look forward to that place, but I think that may be a feature of all of the rewards. Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out. And so, I'm sorry, running back to, I think that ends up being the celestial reward, is that either you get to be one of the laborers in God's work, or you get to be God doing His work. And it's a labor. And can I say, it's tricky. You have to deal with the fact that most of your kids are going to not desire what you ultimately offer them. are the best that they can have. Some people don't want it. And that's okay. So it's not a sin. It's not a sin not to do these things. I don't believe in the sins of omission. I don't think there are things that we must do. Have you noticed in the Ten Commandments, you don't see any labors there? There's gratitude. Gratitude got stuck in there. That's where you have stuff that you're supposed to, your obligations to God and your obligations to your parents. I'm a big sin of commission guy. If you do something, lying, cheating, stealing, killing, using intimacy and sex outside of marriage. That's what these things are for. And that these are not bad places. None of them are bad places, although in God's eyes, they're definitely, one's definitely better than another. One is definitely more, maybe better isn't the right thing. Maybe one is more strident than another. There are rules to every place. And whatever thing you're willing to put up with, you can be. The vast majority of people will go to the celestial glory. Because they don't want to have a lot of constraints placed on them. Isn't that true? I have a tendency toward that. But my tendency is toward, I want to be able to do whatever I want. And the only way I can do that is just throw it all away and just be happy. I like most of, and I call them tellies. Well, like the tellies do. It says, and they get to have a good time, you know? I drink Coke all the time. I love the taste of Coke. Oh, it makes me feel so good. Ooh, nah. And you go, okay. It says there's plenty of Coke going on in the celestial world among the tellies. They love Coke. Coffee, tea, and all that other stuff. Pleasures of the body are a huge thing. In the telly world, in the terrestrial world, I don't know how much of a difference there is. That's where you keep all the rules that Jesus Christ set down. I have a feeling it's a little prudish. That's okay. Everybody there is just like you. I say it's like the gated community because I think that's exactly what it is. It is a nice place where the riffraff isn't allowed to come. And that's the kind of existence that is. If that's your biggest thing, is spending time with people of a certain class, staying away from people who you think you're better than, that's probably where you're going to end up. You have to put forth the effort, right? Whatever effort's required to meet that thing. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Made better by the grade of people who are there. It's like going to a pleasant cotillion and, you know, go read a Jane Austen novel, and the way those people spend their time, and you will see what I think the terrestrial kingdom, where the Terries will go, it'll be like that. The Celestial Kingdom is the labor of doing what God wants to have done. Exaltation, eternal life. Can I be honest? To a large extent, it's a lot of child care. I think a lot of good teachers make it to the celestial kingdom. Now, if they don't make it to exaltation, the highest part of the celestial kingdom, to be like God, I think they'll be doing school for spirits, for a spirit company that are coming through. That's a pretty cool thing, I think. Anyway, so these aren't bad things. These aren't bad things. I'm not a school teacher. So I've decided that, and I don't want to be employed anymore. So I kind of figure that I'm either going to be in the terrestrial kingdom, or I'm going to be exalted. One or the other. When the time comes to make the choice, if I haven't met the criteria for exaltation, I'd just as soon be in the terrestrial kingdom. Because I'm sorry, I really don't want to be working with, like somebody else is. Just don't. So there it is. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and stop now.